So we have some songs here. Laila Samayi. So this is called Laila Samayi, Laila Samayi, Great Longing. Goranga balite habe pulaka sharir, hari hari balite nayane babe nir. The idea of this song is that Goranga balite habe, when by chanting the name of Lord Goranga, the tears will come to my eyes, actually shivering will come to my body, and by chanting the name of Hari, the tears will come to my eyes. Our experience in this material world, or in the spiritual world, is all due to our desire. That if we desire something spiritual, then Krishna will manifest that desire. And if we desire something material, then Krishna will also manifest that desire. So here, Narottam Das Thakur, he's giving us a song by which we can desire something spiritual. So something spiritual, these are the sattvika bhavas, tears in the eyes, the body shivering in ecstasy. So if we simply have faith and we sing these songs with some longing, there are different types of prayers. Laila Samayi is prayers for longing for perfection. Pranarthana is prayer with eagerness, and the some Dayina Yodika is prayers with great humility. So this is one of the prayers desiring some perfectional stage. Goranga balite abe pulaka sharira hari hari balite nayane babe nira. Goranga balite abe pulaka sharira hari hari balite nayane babe nira. Kaveni tai chande karuna hoy be samsara vasana mora kabe tu chahave. Arakabeni tai chande karuna hoy be samsara vasana mora kabe tu chahave. Vishaya chariha kabe shudha bhe mana Kabe Hamahe Rabo Sri Vrindavana. Vishaya Chariha Kabe Shuddha Kabe Hama Kabe Hama Herabo Sri Vrindavana. Rupa Raghunatha Pare Hoibe Akuti Kabe Hama Bhutabo Se Jugala Priti. Rupa Raghunatha Pare Hoibe Akuti Kabe Hama Bhutava Se Jugala Priti. Rupa Raghunatha Pare Prahu Mora Pradana Koro Ye Sada Narodamo Dasa. Rupa Raghunatha Pare Rahu Marasha Pratana Koro Ye Sada Narodamo Dasa. Goranga Balite Abe Pulaka Charira Hari Hari Balite Nayane Babe Nira. Goranga Balite Abe Pulaka Charira Hari Hari Balite Nayane Babe Nira. Ara kabeni tai chande karuna hoibe samsara vasana mora kabe tu chahabe. Akabe ni tai chande karuna oive samsara vasana mora kabe tu chave. So thank you for coming to the seminar. Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasadai Bhute Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Bhacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Sitarane. So the title of the seminar is The Internal Reasons for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Appearance. But we'll also go over something about what it's said to be his external reasons. Actually, internal and external, we should not take it in terms of our ordinary understanding of internal or external. Usually we think external is something superfluous and internal is something very private and deep. In one sense, it is true that Lord Chaitanya has internal reasons for his appearance. We could say that Lord Chaitanya is already in the spiritual world. He eternally exists there in his form of Lord Chaitanya, the combined form of Shri, Shri, Radha, and Krishna. That there's no real need for him to come to the material world in order to experience the mood of Srimati Radharani. So the question is, why has he come to the material world? Sometimes it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that in order to experience three different internal experiences of Srimati Radharani, which is summarized as one, is the love that Srimati Radharani feels for Lord Krishna. The Lord Krishna thought that in the relation between Radha and Krishna, I experience my love for Srimati Radharani, and she experiences her love for me, but certainly her love for me is greater than that, the love that I can experience for her. So that was the first internal reason. Second internal reason is that there is no one sweeter within all the worlds than I am. But only Srimati Radharani can actually relish that sweetness to the fullest extent. So the second reason is to taste Krishna's qualities, the sweetness of his qualities, which are unlimited. Srimati Radharani is the most perfect at doing that. And the third is that in the reciprocation of loving affairs between Radha and Krishna, Srimati Radharani is the most pure. In other words, her love and the love of the gopis is completely unalloyed. Therefore, she is the best mirror to experience the love that Krishna has for her. So the happiness that she feels when she feels Krishna's love is unlimited because of her pure heart. Therefore, in order to experience that happiness of Srimati Radharani's love, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, or Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya. But we know in Goloka Vrindavan, there's a portion of Goloka Vrindavan where Lord Chaitanya is eternally there, experiencing these three different aspects of Srimati Radharani's love. So why did Lord Chaitanya have to come here in order to experience that? Does anyone know? Yes, that's certainly true. But that's taken as one of the external reason, actually. Yes. To come here, if he, like everyone else forgot Krishna, he can come here and forget Krishna too. Not exactly. Actually, he didn't have to come here to experience those three things. He's in the spiritual world always experiencing those three things. There's no need. But Lord Chaitanya means those three things. It means that Lord Krishna, he was thinking, he's eternally thinking like that, that the love of Srimati Radharani is unlimited. Let me taste what that love is. And the qualities that I have are so sweet that only Srimati Radharani can actually relish them to the fullest extent. And no one experiences more happiness than Srimati Radharani, experiencing those sweetness and the love that she has. So let me experience that. So why did Lord Chaitanya come? Those, the external reasons, although they're said to be external or subordinate to the internal reasons, but actually the external reasons from our point of view are probably much more important. Because Lord Chaitanya, that is Lord Chaitanya, in other words, those internal, you can't have Lord Chaitanya without those three internal reasons. He eternally has those three eternal reasons wherever he goes, whether the spiritual or the material world. So for the external reasons, there are two major external reasons. One of them is to propagate the Sankirtan movement. In other words, in every yuga, there are different yuga dharmas. Kritet hudayatam vishnum, dwarpayam traitayam yajitom ukai, dwarpayam paricharyam kalotadari kirtana. In the Krita Yuga or in Satya Yuga, the method of developing God consciousness is by meditation. And in Treta Yuga, the method of God consciousness is by sacrifice. In Dwarpa Yuga, the method of developing God consciousness is by deity worship. And in Kali Yuga, kalotadari kirtana. The chanting of the holy names is the Yuga Dharma. So in every Kali Yuga, chanting of the holy names is the Yuga Dharma. Not only in this particular Kali Yuga, but in every Kali Yuga. That's the principal method. But we have to discriminate between Dharma and Prema. In other words, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in this particular Kali Yuga to propagate Dharma. So Dharma is usually a method or a process by which one follows in order to understand God. By following the Yuga Dharma, one comes to realize God. But generally, people realize God, and at the same time, they have some material motive. So Dharma and religiosity are generally, or religiosity, sometimes or most of the time, linked up with material desire. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came specifically to propagate pure unalloyed love in Raganuga Bhakti without any aspirations even for liberation. Because liberation is, even from material existence, is also another phase of material desire. So he came in Kali Yuga, Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishna Sango Pangasya Parshadam Jagnai Sankirtana Prayar Yanti Hi Sameda Saha. In order to propagate the chanting of the holy names and at the same time to give us an opportunity to come to the platform of spontaneous love and at the same time to reveal the different rasas who are in spontaneous love, up to Madhurya Rasa. Now the reason why we study this, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chamedivyam, evam yo veti tatvataha tyatvadeham punarjanma naitimam etis arjuna. That if we understand these different aspects of the incarnations, especially Lord Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the result is that we can go back to the spiritual world just by understanding. Of course, understanding means to realize tatvataha, means to experience, and Krishna says, bhakti amam abhijananti yavan yas chasmi tatvataha tatomam tatvato gyatva vishite tad anantaram. That this understanding comes through the process of devotion, through worshipping Krishna with love and affection. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, although he's Krishna himself, he comes, especially in Kali Yuga, we can understand that, if God came in Kali Yuga, he would not be very much appreciated. Kali Yuga, God is not a very good position to have. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as a devotee and shows us, as he says, he'll teach how to become a devotee by being a devotee himself. He came at the end of Dwarpa Yuga as Lord Krishna and displayed all the different transcendental pastimes and all the different rasas. But we can see that practically most people did not appreciate. Krishna had to come with his own entourage, and of course his entourage, the residents of Vrindavan, or the residents of Dwarka, they certainly appreciated Krishna's presence. But people outside those realms, very few of them actually appreciated Krishna's pastimes. And as time went on, the appreciation even got less and less. Even when we go to India nowadays, people have some very strange ideas about Krishna's pastimes. I'm sure you've all heard some of those things. They criticize Krishna, you know, for marrying so many ladies, 16,108 queens. He must have been very lusty. So Prabhupada would say, well, if he was lusty, then he was unlimitedly lusty. Everything about Krishna is unlimited. Therefore, people misunderstood Krishna's pastimes. Even Kamsa, when he was there, right there, because of his lack of devotional service, when he was told by Narada Muni that Krishna was God, he said, how can he be a God? Why are you claiming he's God? Just because he lifted one pebble, Govardhan Hill. You're still claiming he's God just because he defeated one harmless water snake, Kaliya serpent. Therefore, if one does not have love for a person, as Indra says, that even if one is exalted as Indra, he'll seem as insignificant as an ordinary person. And if one has love for someone, even an ordinary person, an insignificant person, will seem more exalted than Indra. In order to show us how to appreciate Krishna's pastimes 5,000 years ago, then Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya and propagated the Sankirtan movement. So these are all combined. The external and the external reasons are actually intimately linked, because it's not by accident that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Although internally, he exists as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only for those three reasons. He doesn't come in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to manifest the Sankirtan movement. As I said, in previous incarnations, he comes in other incarnations, other forms, in order to manifest the Sankirtan movement. But once in a day of Brahma, once every 4,300,000 times 1,000, 4,300,000,000 years, when Krishna displays his transcendental pastimes, then in that same yuga cycle, the 28th yuga cycle of this Manvantara, then he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to actually reveal what Krishna's pastimes are. But unless he was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we cannot actually understand the Krishna's pastimes. In other words, he's propagating the five different rasas, but all five different rasas, actually four rasas mainly. Shanta rasa is not usually considered one of the major rasas. The four major rasas, Dasya and Sakya and Vatsalya and Madhurya, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming and he's revealing these rasas. Sometimes we hear that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is specifically emphasizing Manjari rasa. Actually, he's not emphasizing Manjari rasa. He's emphasizing his role as Srimati Radharani. But in order to propagate all the four different major rasas, especially those in Vatsalya, the Dasya, Vatsalya, Sakya, and Madhurya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals the method. And the method, of course, is bhakti, but in the mood of a devotee. So bhakti is the method, and he shows us the easiest method of performing bhakti in this age, namely chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But not asking for dhanam, sundarim, or a janman ishvare, or liberation. He's asking for the internal mood of Srimati Radharani. Oh, the energy of the Lord, oh, the Supreme Lord, kindly engage me in your loving service. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left us the shiksharas, which explain about the gradual different stages of elevation to the mood of Srimati Radharani. So at the end of the eighth prayer, when she prays, I always get this wrong, the pronunciation, but you all know it anyhow. Ashishava padam padam panastumam adarshanam mahatam karotuva tatat yatatata vradatu lampato matprananatastu sa eva naparaha. My dear Lord, you may crush me as your maidservant fallen at your feet, or you may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You are at liberty to do anything or anything, because although you are a debauchee, lampato means debauchee, you are free to do anything and everything, but you are always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So this mood of surrender of Srimati Radharani is really exemplified in the three internal reasons. But for us to understand it, we shouldn't think that we should... first of all, we should understand that these three internal reasons are not beyond our capacity to understand. To experience them may be a little bit beyond our capacity, but to understand them is not so difficult, because that's everyone's experience. First of all, everyone has some love, although our love may be misdirected, but everyone has different degrees of love. And that love that we have is experienced according to the objects that we're presented with. So Srimati Radharani's love certainly expands unlimitedly when she's presented with Krishna. And similarly, our love will expand in the same way if we're conscious of Krishna. And the qualities of Krishna are unlimitedly sweet. Even when Krishna was in Dwarka and he saw his reflection in a mirror, that he became attracted to his form. And he thought, let me be able to take a form where I can embrace Krishna just as Srimati Radharani is embracing me. Let me embrace myself, or be in that mood, just as Srimati Radharani is always desiring to embrace me. So we also, as we become Krishna conscious, we'll also develop that same desire to be able to relish Krishna's sweetness, which is unlimited, to realize his unlimited qualities. And as our heart becomes purified, as we realize that the desire to love Krishna or to serve Krishna is infinitely greater, brings an infinitely greater reward than any other desire. So as our heart becomes purified, then proportionally our happiness from realizing Krishna consciousness will increase proportionally also. Therefore, the same internal reasons that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has eternally to relish the position of a devotee, we also have that position naturally. It is nothing we artificially. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displays or reveals that the position of a devotee is better than the position of God. Here in Kali Yuga, everyone is anxious to become the Lord, but the Lord himself comes and shows that he's more anxious to become a devotee. So this is very good for Kali Yuga, to inspire us, not that, you know, somehow or another we got the wrong end of the deal. You know, unfairly we're infinitesimal and Krishna happened to be born unlimited. He was lucky. No, actually Krishna, he desires to be in the role of his servant more than he desires to be in the role of the master. and in the role of the servant, then he himself relishes more pleasure than he does in the role of the master. And even better than the role of Srimati Radharani, experiencing the happiness in the relationship to Krishna is the role of Srimati Radharani's servants, who relish the bringing Radha and Krishna together. That when Radharani serves Krishna and sees that Krishna is pleased, then her happiness is 10 million times more than Krishna's pleasure that he derives. But when Krishna sees that Srimati Radharani is happy by serving him, then he becomes more beautiful. And when Srimati Radharani sees that Krishna is becoming more beautiful by her service, her pleasure increases many, many more times. But when the gopis, when they see that Radha and Krishna are becoming more and more pleased and beautiful, their pleasure increases millions of times more than Srimati Radharani's. So Srimati Radharani, she's more anxious to take the role of bringing Krishna together with the gopis than she is to personally serve Krishna. Therefore, believe it or not, our position is even better than... We have the devotees of Krishna have the best position. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and reveals that through the Sankirtan movement. And of course, he comes with his devotees. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishna Sango Pangasra Parashudam Jagnai Sankirtana Prayer Yanti Husameda Saha. That he comes in the Krishna Varnam. He's not blackish. He's of the color of golden color. Sri Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, he's explained in the third chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila in great detail, showing how that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually Krishna himself. So we may take that for granted that, yes, of course he's Krishna himself. Who else could he be? But probably as Kali Yuga goes on, we'll find more and more people doubting about, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes more prominent, people will come up with arguments trying to prove that Lord Chaitanya was someone other than Krishna himself. Therefore, he's given us elaborate arguments. And also, if we understand these arguments, then we ourselves will develop faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we understand something about him, then we'll see what a wonderful incarnation he is. Sometimes we have on the altars, we have Radha and Krishna in the middle, and then we have Lord Jagannath, and off to the side somewhere, you know, almost kind of like, you know, yes, out of duty, there's Gorni Thai there, and, you know, we should do a little service to him. But actually, Radha and Krishna, you know, they're the real deities. And Gorni Thai, you know, if you're told, well, in my temple I have Gorni Thai, oh, really? Oh, too bad. But Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, that Lord Chaitanya is none other than the combined forms of Radha and Krishna. And there is no better way, actually there's no other way of worshipping Radha and Krishna in Kali Yuga other than worshipping Gorni Thai. Of course, if one is worshipping Gorni Thai and one doesn't worship Radha and Krishna, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has something to say about that. He says that if one worships Gorni Thai, but that he doesn't worship Radha and Krishna, then the person's a demon. Because we shouldn't go around saying that. But, and if one worships Radha and Krishna in this age, but they don't worship Gorni Thai, they're also demons. Therefore, Gorni Thai are very essential incarnations. And to understand thoroughly, in very much detail, all the way down to our personal lives, what it means for us is very essential if we want to make any substantial spiritual advancement in Kali Yuga. And it's also very essential because even within our present context of our society, we can see that there are other philosophies being propagated that the preaching is somehow or another external. Has anyone ever heard that philosophy? that preaching is external, and that the higher thing is to relish the relationship between Radha and Krishna and the spiritual world. Excuse me? Anyhow, something. At least they know something about Krishna. There are many varieties of philosophy, not only some of Prabhupada's God brothers, they may have misunderstood, but at least they've understood something. It is not that when we say that, when we may bring this out, that we should immediately condemn anyone who doesn't understand this particular aspect. Just like one time, one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers was criticizing Prabhupada because he had opened a temple, because the temple we had in Japan, they were doing somewhat illegal activities in order to collect money. So the Japanese government, they were disturbed, and there were some newspaper reports about how there was a disturbance being created in Japan due to Prabhupada's temple there. So Prabhupada's godbrother started to criticize Prabhupada for that. So Prabhupada's reply was that at least we have a temple in Japan to create a disturbance. That my dear godbrother, he's criticizing us, but he doesn't even have a temple there to create such a disturbance. Similarly, even though sometimes different devotees, not only within the Gaudiya Math, but even within our own society, may not so clearly understand, because I don't clearly understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement either, and at different stages of our existence, we may understand it to different degrees. But at least that's the topic of discussion. At least they misunderstand the right thing. Better than someone who doesn't understand anything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. But the point is that this external or internal, they're completely intimately related to each other. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, although one may think that this preaching is something external, but actually it's very, very intimately connected with the internal. As a matter of fact, there's no possibility in this age, practically speaking, of experiencing the internal mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without participating in the propagation of the Sankirtan movement. Srila Prabhupada, more than anyone else, he manifested that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada also, he manifested that, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had prayed for that. He also participated trying to manifest Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner desire. And the six Goswamis, that's what they wrote about. But after the disappearance of the six Goswamis, except for some very great acharyas, there is more or less Vaishnavism, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had introduced it, had all but disappeared. Because this point they missed. They missed the fact that the internal and external reasons were one and the same. They're not really different. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was propagating the mission of the Sankirtan movement, whether he was in the role of a little boy, whether he was in the role of a scholar, whether he was in the role of a new devotee, just experiencing the ecstasy after meeting his spiritual master at Gaya. Then when he manifested devotional symptoms, or whether he was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, experiencing all the eight sattvic bhavas together, called Sudipta, Mahabhav. Still, he was in the same mood. It wasn't that his mood had changed. Just like Parthasarathi. We have deities in Delhi called Parthasarathi. How many devotees have seen the deities there? Very beautiful deities. So, one devotee questioned, how did Prabhupada name the the deities Radha, Partha, Sarati. So they thought that that was somehow or another a rasa basa. But actually it's simply due to misunderstanding, full understanding of what rasa actually means. Because when Krishna is on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as Prabhupada said when he was asked the same question, it's not that he was without Srimati Radharani. That Krishna, he's always feeling the separation from Srimati Radharani. It is not that Krishna is ever separated from his internal energy. He's always with his internal energy. So even he's on the battlefield of Kurukshetra fighting, he's still thinking of his pastimes in Vrindavan. When he was at Dwarka, he was always remembering his pastimes at Vrindavan. So actually Krishna, especially in his form, his different forms, he's always in Vrindavan, or at least feeling separation from Vrindavan. So Krishna and Radha are never separated, even if he's in the form of Partha Sarati. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in all his different pastimes, he's always in the mood of Radha and Krishna, feeling separation from the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, or at least Srimati Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna. Usually Krishna is in the mood of Krishna feeling separation from Radharani, but this time he's in the mood of Radharani feeling separation from Krishna. And wherever he is in his pastimes, he's still in the same mood. And this way he teaches us how to gradually advance in devotional service. What time does this class go to? 20 after? 20 past 1. Any questions about this so far? Yes.
Just saying that Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Radharani feeling separation from Krishna, and otherwise he's usually he's Krishna feeling separation from Radharani. But then just after that you said that in all rasas he's feeling the same mood.
Not in all the rasas, in all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities.
In Lord Chaitanya's activities.
Yeah, in all of Lord Chaitanya. It's throughout his different pastimes. Because they're very distinct. There's Poganda, there's Adi Leela. Krishna Kaviraj Goswami, he's put Madhya Leela, and he's also put Antya Leela. So if we look at Adi Leela, there it's mostly describing Lord Chaitanya's appearance and his childhood pastimes, as well as a lot of philosophy, so that we can understand who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Then in Madhya Leela, mostly it's his preaching, either traveling in South India and preaching, or to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakasananda Saraswati, to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So it's in his mood of a preacher. And Antya Leela, it's in his mood of feeling separation from Krishna and Vrindavan. That manifests itself fully and becomes extraordinarily manifested. That we don't find in Adi Leela or in Madhya Leela Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becoming like a pumpkin, or his limbs elongating so he became 12 cubits. All his limbs came out of his body. We don't find that in Anti Leela. But it's not that he changed his mood. It's not that he was developing Krishna consciousness. And that at the beginning he was more or less, he was a scholar, and then he became a devotee, then he became a preacher, and then finally at the end of his life, he became perfect in Krishna consciousness. No, he was always in the same ecstasy. But he manifested it appropriately to show us. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Apani karimu bhakti bhava angikare apani achari bhakti shik kaimu sabare. I shall accept the role of a devotee and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. So Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya's Leela, is instructional for us and ultimately is to bring us as far as we can come on the realm of devotional service. But as he says in the third chapter, does everyone have these papers that were handed out? Did they hand out these? They didn't hand out any papers. Well, there is a paper that should be Xeroxed by tomorrow. And it has the principal text from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about what we're going to talk about. Anarpita chirim charat kuruna yavatira kalo samarpayitum udvala ud natvojula rasam svabhakti shriyam hari parata sundara duti kandamba sandipitaha sadaridaya kandare spiratu vasachinandanaha. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. So, of course, when we hear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's manifesting conjugal love. So we may think that that's the rasa he came to manifest. But actually he came to reveal all the different rasas to us. Although he himself is Krishna, and therefore he's specifically or most interested in the mood of Srimati Radharani. But Radharani's mood is explained as basically starting with dasya rasa. In other words, Srimati Radharani's mood is the highest form of dasya rasa. She claims herself, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu claimed himself, Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayora, Dasa Dasa Anudasa. He claims himself to be just simply the servant of the servant of the servants of the gopis of Vrindavan, of Krishna, who maintains the gopis in Vrindavan. So the most basic rasa is dasya rasa. The material world, as Prabhupada has explained, is a perverted reflection of dasya rasa. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and shows us from the beginning what it means to serve Krishna in Kali Yuga, especially. What does service mean? And as that service intensifies, what the results of that service is. That Srimati Radharani, she doesn't think, well, I'm Krishna's most confidential, lover. And everyone else, they're just cowherd boys and cows, Somehow or another, they're all decorations for my pastimes. No, her and all the other devotees, they think themselves simply to be servants, maidservants. But that service attitude has intensified to the platform of conjugal love. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us up to the platform of conjugal love. But all the different rasas, from parental to servitorship and friendship, they're all manifestations of service rasa, different degrees of intensities of that. And that's what we have to develop ourselves. Now we come to the platform of Madhurya rasa, if that's our eternal relationship. That means that our service relationship is intensified to that extent, that's all. But not that there's any real difference between servitorship and friendship and parental or conjugal. Is that clear? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows us how to serve Krishna in this age, and his bona fide succession of devotees, those who realize, they show us most extensively how to serve Lord Krishna in this age. or how to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. I have one quote here which is, I'll read exactly as it says. This is a letter from Prabhupada to Nandalal in Paris, June 9th, 1974. The explanation given by Ramaswara that Sankirtan is Lord Chaitanya's Leela, which he compares to the gopis trying to engage others in Krishna's service, is the correct understanding. So, we shouldn't think that the Sankirtan movement is anything different from Lord Chaitanya's Leela. It is Lord Chaitanya's Leela. And one who actually engages in the Sankirtan movement, they'll actually find themselves eventually in Goloka Vrindavan, witnessing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the same mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Panchatattva. So it is the best way of entering into Krishna's Leela is to preach Krishna consciousness in this age, is following the footsteps of the Panchatattva. Yes, in the first Avadhuta. Okay, you can go first. Sure.
You said that, as is known, that Lord Chaitanya comes one time in a day of Brahma, no? That means one time each 1,000 Kali Yuga. Is it true? No? But what about, I was wondering about the other Yugas. Who is coming to, is the holy names, the names of God also in their Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma, and who bring it down? And also I wanted to know something about the others' Yuga. Is in the other Yuga, is the holy names also potent in the same way, less known, or is it is Lord Chaitanya gave a special potency to the holy name, to the holy name in the Kali Yuga?
Well, as far as I remember, in every Yuga, every Kali Yuga, the method is Harinam Sankirtan. And he comes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna comes in a forearm form in most of the other Kali Yugas. And there he propagates Sankirtan. But because he's not coming as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the Panchatattva, therefore these internal reasons, which we'll discuss more fully later on, they don't manifest themselves. The mood in that particular, in the other Kali Yugas is not the same. One doesn't have the opportunity to get the same results.
What in the other yugas?
Oh, well, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement brings one up to the level of Madhurya Rasa, that service attitude. But when the holy names are propagated, because the holy name is not only potent in Kali Yuga, it's potent in all the yugas. Prahlad Maharaj, he appeared in, I guess that was Satya Yuga, the beginning of the creation. He was always chanting Hare Krishna. So it wasn't that he was he was an anomaly. But no, in the holy names are always potent in all the yugas. But without, as we find at the end of the third chapter of the Adi Leela, is a statement made, which we've heard many times, but the essence of the meaning to this verse is that Lord Krishna appears in all his innumerable eternal forms because of the desires of his pure devotees. So because of his pure devotees, and here we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a devotee, is manifesting a certain desire. Those who have his association by service, then they develop the same desires that he has. But when Krishna comes, and I'm sure he comes with devotees at that time who are chanting, but their desire, because it's not in the same mood, probably goes up only into Vaikuntha. He's not worshipped with a spontaneous desire to serve Krishna in unalloyed love, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting, and the other Panchatattva and associates are manifesting. Simply a desire to serve him without any desire, even for liberation, or to go to Vaikuntha, or to get the five kinds of liberation. Simply as maidservants fallen at his feet. so that only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates manifest that.
And I was wondering why in the other, if the holy name is potent in all the yugas, why the Maha Mantra is not accepted also in the other yuga, if it is so easy, no?
No, it is accepted. It's always accepted in all the yugas.
Okay.
That will explain tomorrow. Because we won't have enough time, but there's a whole topic. It's always accepted, the holy name, and the holy name brings one to the perfection of the other yugas. It is not that there's something different from, you know, our aim is not something different from deity worship, sacrifice, and meditation. Actually, these are the different stages of perfection. The holy name actually brings one to the platform of worshiping the deity, performing sacrifice, and then meditating. That is our process. But because people are qualified in that age, they're already on the platform of meditation. So the holy name is already there. It's not that the holy name is not manifested, it's there right there in Satya Yuga. It's there fully. The holy name doesn't, as Prabhupada said, Bhaktivinoda Thakura also, doesn't mean K-R-I-S-H-N-A. The holy name means Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's associates. That's what the holy name actually means, the loving exchanges. And in Satya Yuga, it's there in the form of the devotees meditating. The holy name is manifested fully. So they don't... There's no need for a Sankirtan movement to teach people the chanting of the holy name because people are already meditating on the holy name, on Krishna. Yes.
Good much. How is it that internal and external reasons are the same?
Well, they're not. They're the same in this sense, is that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting his external reasons, namely to propagate the Yuga Dharma and at the same time to distribute the especially the four major rasas, that simultaneously with that, the internal reasons are included. In other words, without those internal reasons, there would be no opportunity to propagate, distribute the four rasas, especially in spontaneous love. Unless Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in that mood, unless his associates are in that mood, then we can't actually propagate the Sankirtan movement as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. In other words, we have to also develop love, selfless love, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained in his Shikshastika, the different stages. Trinada pisuni chena taraji sahishnuna amarina maridinena kirtini aksadahari. So without beginning with that, without including that within our basis of chanting, and then beyond that, nadinamna janamna sundarim kavitamva jagadisha kamaye, advancing to that stage, then we won't be able to propagate the Sankirtan movement. And the more we come to the different stages, the more we'll be able to propagate the Sankirtan movement. So Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, was able to propagate the Sankirtan movement so widely because he was in the mood of a servant falling at Krishna's feet. He was completely surrendered to Krishna, and that's what his life revealed. Complete dependency upon the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada didn't come with a master plan and figured out everything. No, he came on the Jaladuta with, 64 rupees, 24 rupees, landed in Tompkins Square Park and, started to chant Hare Krishna. And Krishna manifested, although Prabhupada had a plan, but he depended upon Krishna. And as Krishna displayed, manifested what he actually wanted, then Prabhupada was surrendered. So because Prabhupada was so surrendered to his spiritual master, as Prabhupada said, that actually... My spiritual master, he wanted a cooperative worldwide movement to spread Sankirtan. And he wanted it especially by printing books and distributing them widely. And Prabhupada said, my only qualification is that I was humble and I took up the order of my spiritual master depending on him, depending on the previous acharyas, and they've manifested such wonderful things beyond anyone's expectations. So Prabhupada, because he was up to the eighth level, the eighth prayer, therefore he was able to do so many wonderful things. And according to what level we come up to, then we'll be able to serve Krishna in the Sankirtan movement accordingly. Anything else? Okay, I think we can stop there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanande.